Good morning. It's good to see everyone. This morning we'll be doing something a little different than the verse-by-verse study that we normally do. We'll be having a lecture-style lesson, a combo lesson, if you will. After each point, we'll have a song to help emphasize some of the teaching. If you'd like to open your song books ahead of time, in a moment we'll be singing song number 261 shortly. 261. As you can see, the lesson this morning is entitled Help in Time of Need, and is meant to be an encouragement and a biblical reminder of some of our spiritual blessings in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8-11. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation, that is, everlasting comfort, and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's Hebrews 4:14-16. One can imply that from these passages and many others that we have a God of all comfort. He gives us everything we need. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Peter 1:3. Matthew 6:24-34. Truly, he gives us help in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. I don't think we'd get too far without brethren who exercise biblical love, do you? The importance of love cannot be overestimated. It is the avenue through which faith works, Galatians 5:6. Love is what we all are to follow after, 1 Corinthians 14:1. If one has faith to remove mountains but has not love, the Bible says that he is nothing, 1 Corinthians 13:2. The great apostle Paul said that love is the greatest in comparison with the important abiding things of faith and hope, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves are the first and second commandments of importance, supporting all other commandments, Matthew 28:37-38. Therefore, love is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-26, that must grow in our personal spiritual garden. Truly, we are to walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, Ephesians 5:2. The Bible teaches that we are to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, 1 Timothy 6:11, 2 Timothy 2:22, and keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, Jude 21. We are to love the brotherhood, 1 Peter 2:17. The Bible teaches us to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, Romans 12:10. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment, 1 John 3:23. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you, John 15:12. We should always remember the significance of love, as the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8. And if we love not, we know not God. 1 John 4:7-10. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 3:14. No help in time of need will be available to those that choose to not love one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we should always be doing the things that promote sound spiritual growth in others. With a humble heart that has room to consider the well-being of others, the brother or sister will be forbearing in love, Ephesians 4:2. As we strive to spiritually influence one another to the knowledge of the truth, 2 Timothy 2:24-26. The loving brother or sister will not hide the truth, but because he or she values the other's soul, in love the brother or sister will speak the truth, Ephesians 4:15. You will not find a loving brother or sister forsaking assembling with the saints. He or she will be with the saints, for love always considers the other person. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself, Romans 14:7. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, Philippians 2:4. And the loving Christian knows that by assembling, he or she has the opportunity to provoke one another unto love and good works, Hebrews 10:24-25. One can never blame the lack of spiritual growth upon brothers and sisters who manifest biblical love. Love is what helps brethren to maintain peace with each other. By noticing what love does and does not do, we can better understand why love suffereth long or is patient and is kind. Love envieth not or is not jealous. Love vaunteth not itself or does not brag, is not puffed up or is not arrogant, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil. Rejoice not in unrighteousness, but rejoice with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Brethren and families alike can work through difficult circumstances with one another when they are willing to suffer long, bear under and endure the trying times with hope. Brethren can go a long way in solving differences when they approach one another with kindness. And in believing all things, place the best meaning upon the motives of others. They can easily be approached for permanent problem solving when they are void of envy, void of puffed up pride, and void of a memory that keeps a record of all the evil done to them in the past. Love is what holds brethren together in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:2-3. It is truly the bond of perfectness, Colossians 3:14. Where would we be without faithful brethren exercising biblical love? What a great help in time of need. Let's pause for just a moment and we'll sing song number 261, Love Lifted Me, 261. We'll sing verses 1-3 of 261.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Help in time of need? What about the privilege of prayer? The Bible says prayer belongs to the child of God. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, Psalm 66 and verse 18. Regarding prayer, there is no help in the eternal spiritual sense of the word for those who are outside of Christ. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Prayer is not a crutch for sinners, but a blessing and help for the saints. Because of this vast means of communication that can occur between creature and creator. So one of the helps in time of need is this direct access to God. At any moment, a Christian can pause and speak with God, and we can be assured that he will hear our prayers. No wonder Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It's interesting, the verses right before and after. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. While the Roman Empire was persecuting Christians, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, 1 Timothy 2:1 through 3. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's Romans 11, 33 through 36. If Christians would only remember to utilize the blessed privilege and help of prayer, to take our minds off ourselves and pull it toward God, to ask for his assistance. That's how we can demonstrate true faith, confidence, and trust in him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, not just some of our ways, but in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. That ought to be our guideline. But the privilege and power and help in time of need through prayer. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, that is, accomplishes much. James 5 and verse 16. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open under their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. 1 Peter 3:10-11. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace and find help in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Jesus spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18 and verse 1. And then he proceeds to explain about a woman who was persistent in addressing an unjust judge about avenging her adversary. Jesus said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. Essentially, Jesus says, you ought to be focused on me and talking to me and concentrating on speaking to me about your circumstances. In other words, we should be fighting our battles in this life through prayer. It is not our job to worry, Matthew 6 and verse 31. It is not our job to be bitter, Ephesians 4 and verse 31. It is not our job to be vengeful, Romans 12 and verse 9. We should be fighting our battles in this life by putting our trust in God, Isaiah 12 and verse 2, and by allowing his word to live in us through our obedience, 1 Peter 1:22, Galatians 5 and verse 7. By being skillful in his word, Philippians 1:17, Titus 1:9, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, by teaching, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, and by remaining faithful, Revelations 2 and verse 10. But regarding prayer, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. We need to avail ourselves as Christians at this great help in time of need. And more joy and less chaos and frenzy will be in our lives. Let's pause for just a moment. We'll sing number 23, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Number 23, we'll sing verses 1 and 2 of number 23.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. by thy return, sweet hour of prayer.
Help in time of need? What about the joy and peace of Christianity? In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, that is, let your forbearance or your reasonableness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, that is, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus."
And bids me,
brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or honorable, whatsoever things are just or right, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report or commendable, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, rather, and if there be any praise, think on these things, that is, meditate, dwell on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's Philippians 4, 4 through 9. These passages show us that if we are Christians, if we are following God and striving to live according to His will, He will enable us to have peace and joy. What great help in time of need. Notice again the word peace in Philippians chapter 4. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 7. And then the Bible says, the God of peace shall be with you, Philippians 4, 9. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, we read, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." That's 1 Peter 1, 7 through 8. So Christians can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a great help in time of need. Romans 14, 17 tells us, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost," that is, in the Word which the Holy Ghost revealed. In Colossians 1 and verse 20, we learn the source of this peace. Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, we learn that God is the author of peace. Christ is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Paul said he preached the gospel of peace, Romans 10 and verse 15. And so we can have the peace of God which passeth all understanding, Philippians 4 and verse 7. We have access to it in the volume we call the Bible. The peace that the Bible refers to is this ability to be at peace with God. In other words, when you're in the right relationship with God, when you obey and submit to His will, then are you at peace with God, even if men all around you are giving you trouble. When the Bible says grace, mercy, and peace, 1 Timothy 1, 2, 2 Timothy 1, 2, that doesn't mean absence of conflict. Jesus makes this very point in John 14, 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then in John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me," that's in Christ, "ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Paul wrote, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries," 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. In the first century, Christians had peace in spite of adversity and were zealous of good works, zealous of spiritual works, biblical works because of adversity. The Bible says, through much tribulation, they entered into the kingdom of God, Acts 14, and verse 22. They had the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. God kept their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4 and verse 7, and ours too, if we'll but follow and obey His word. In the first century, Christians were faithfully loyal and obedient at the face of death, whether it was being burned at the stake or crucifixion or being thrown to the lions. In Revelations 14:13, we learn why. Blessed are the dead, which die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. First century Christians were so deeply entrenched in persecution. All that live in Christ shall also have persecution and long for a better home. Christians look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, Hebrews 11 and verse 10. While on earth, Christians glorify God with lives of peace and joy and determination and dedication, inspired and in spite of external problems. They long to go home and be forever with the Lord. What a great help in time of need. Christianity, where there is true joy and peace in Christ. We need to appreciate the fact that Christianity is the crowning glory of the Bible story. And if we hold to God's unchanging hand, as we sometimes sing, and if our faith looks up to Him, molded and made after His will, we'll have nothing to fear in this life, nor in the life to come. Mark 10 and verse 30. I think that's one of the main reasons that Christians can have joy and peace regardless of external circumstances, because they rely upon the Lord who said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28 and verse 20. What great comfort and help in time of need. So our attitude and outlook in life is not determined by external circumstances, but by internal devotion and being in tune with the God of heaven and understanding His will and obeying it. In Mark 6 and verse 50, Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And He ever comforts, sustains, and helps us in time of need. And that's why the Apostle Paul could write from a prison cell, who tells his brethren who are free, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4 and verse 4. You can't defeat a genuine, loyal, faithful Christian in this life because he or she is heading for a better life. Amen. We need to really appreciate our lives and have bold confidence that if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 and verse 31. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is, if we die in the flesh, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's Colossians 3:15. Biblical peace is an inward hope dependent upon God, who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13:5. What a great help in time of need that we have as faithful, loyal Christians. Let's pause and sing number 245, Only in Thee. Number 245. We'll be singing verses 1 through 3. Only in Thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace that the world, though all combine, never can take
from me. Pleasures of earth, so seemingly sweet, fail at the last, my longings to me. Only my bliss is complete, only, dear Lord, in thee. Only in thee a radiance bright shines like a beacon in the night. Bark awry over life's trackless sea. Only in thee, when troubles molest, when with temptation I am oppressed, there is a sweet pavilion of rest. Only, dear Lord, in thee. Only in thee, when days are drear, when neither sun nor stars appear, still I can trust and feel no fear, sing when I cannot see. Only in thee, whatever betide, all of my need is freely supplied. There is no hope or helper beside, only, dear Lord, in thee.
Another help in time of need, the hope of a Christian. The Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Romans 14:13. Do you recall the sufferings of Job or the Apostle Paul? Read the book of Job or 2 Corinthians 11:24-27. I'm not making light of the suffering that anyone has had in the past, may currently have, or may be experiencing in the future. Such experiences can overwhelm and cause great pain. But I don't think anything endured today can be compared to the suffering of Job or the apostles or those first century Christians. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," John 16:33. Whether it is dating problems for the young, current or future marital or health problems, financial problems, whether it is job-related, school-related, or problems with physical or spiritual brethren, in this physical realm, one can experience some great disappointment, heartache, and suffering. Life eternal, however, has no suffering. Revelation 21:4. Therein lies the hope of a Christian. We may not like our situation, but we can have joy and hope in our salvation. Indeed, the Bible says we are saved by hope. Romans 8:24. So don't forget to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:2. What blessings Christians have, help in time of need through loving brethren, the privilege of prayer, the joy, peace, and hope of Christianity. Let's pause again and sing number 346. God's hold to God's unchanging hand. Number 346. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of 346.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth a move shall stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if my earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul shall view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Now, how do we ensure we continue to have access to help in time of need? It is simple. Don't ever, ever give up and abandon God. You be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. True Christians don't lose hope because they are heaven bound. We don't tear down, but we build up in the faith, Jude verse 20, Colossians 2 and verse 2, and verse 7 rather. Christians don't give up and say, as Job's wife did, curse God and die, Job 2 and verse 9. Christians put their best foot forward. They should do their best with whatever circumstances they are faced with. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That is, do your very best. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. It is sometimes easier said than done, but the Christian must learn in whatsoever state they are faced with, therewith to be content, Philippians 4:11. They've got to roll with the punches and not be overwhelmed and embittered just because things are not going as expected. Never blame God for the burdens in this life. Read James 1:13 through 16. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. For the Christian who reaps eternal life, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Revelations 21 and verse 4. This is what propels the Christian to do their very best in this life so that they can have life everlasting. That's a blessing of being in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, and a great help in time of need, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. In fact, God said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely, Revelations 21, 6. So never, ever stop hungering and thirsting for righteousness, Matthew 5, 5 through 6. The Bible says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, Revelations 21, 7 through 8. You search the scriptures and study daily to show thyself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15, Acts 17 and verse 11, so you can increase and add to your faith, 2 Peter 1, 4 through 8, Romans 10 and verse 17, so you can grow in His grace and in His knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18, so you can be properly equipped spiritually. Read Ephesians 6, 14 through 16. So you can be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason that is within you with hope, with meekness and fear, rather. Matthew, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Holding fast the faithful word as you hath been taught, that you may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Titus 1 and verse 9. You search and study the scriptures so you can be set for the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1 17. So you can fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. You go on unto perfection. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Lest the Lord find you or me to be a wicked and slothful servant. Matthew 25, 1 through 30. Those that choose to remain faithful unto death will receive a crown of life. Revelations 2 and verse 10. Those that choose to endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24 and verse 13. It's that simple. I don't understand why anyone would not want to be a Christian and abide in the soul-saving gospel of our Lord rather than in the religious traditions of men, Colossians 2 and verse 8, which has zero spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, or zero help in time of need, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. The lesson is yours. We'll close by singing number 644, Trust and Obey. 644. We'll sing verses 1 and 5 of 644. Thank you for your attention.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way.
What He says we will do,
where He sends we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
That's good stuff. Thank you,
sir.
The use of the word story, I would use the term. The word story, so we need to be careful about using the word story. And I use the word count, because the story doesn't have a connotation or anything. It's probably.
I've never known that word. I use that word story.
And in other words,
said a lie.
Hope is a liar, and confidence expectation is an apple.
Three, so six, one.
Those two. You didn't miss you.
The outcome,
thank you.
That'll work.
Great job, bud.
Thank you.
Okay. Lead to her from the bottom of the class.
Thank you.